AfterBuzzers, you're tuned into the SNL AfterBuzz After Show. We're talking about Chadwick Boseman and Cardi B. Stay tuned. Okay. Okay. There you go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, over that. We're here. Wow. That's Cardi B. That's Cardi B.
She's never going to say okurk.
I can't roll my R's.
Wait, can you try one more time?
Okurk?
No.
You're not just asking a question.
You sound like a country chicken.
Okurk? I can do a good Scooby trying to do it. Okurk?
Much better.
You just ask a question every time.
It's just not Cardi B.
Thanks, guys. Why don't we introduce ourselves? Because it's been a while.
Hey, folks. I'm Elizabeth Alfano. Great to be back.
I'm ADB.
Yeah.
I'm Amy Maestri.
Wanting to be ADB.
I'm Steph, and I'm so obsessed with Cardi B.
I'm Kelly Boseman. And welcome back. Oh, man, it's been a while. What a fun episode, though. Chadwick Boseman, Cardi B.
Oh, my.
Yeah. Woof. What are you guys' thoughts on Chadwick before we get into Cardi? What a piece of man. You know?
I love him. I love him. And he is so gosh darn sexy. And I love everything he wears. I love how he sings. I love how he speaks. We were talking about this before the show. Like, it's hard not to say, like, gosh, I just want to sleep with him.
Oh, my God. Honest.
Really? Like, forget coffee, dinner, whatever. Yeah. No, forget. It's done. Let's go straight to bed.
My favorite part of Black Panther was him and Michael B. Jordan fighting shirtless.
Oh, my God!
Just put on repeat. Yeah, repeat. And the guy, what's his face? The cave guy, too. Fight that first fight. Mm-hmm. Just back to back.
While you're cooking at home.
I would prefer less scars on Michael B. Jordan, but I get it. That's the whole character of Killmonger. Whatever. Great movie if you haven't seen
it. So good.
So, like, I just saw it the other day again for the second time, and it's still... I still laughed and was still shocked. Like, it still hit hard, even though I knew it was happening.
I know. Yeah. I feel like it really leveled up Marvel. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
And the cast was so, like, not even just the male cast. The females were...
Yeah, well. Oh, Lupita.
Fire! Yeah.
Dude, Lupita doing anything. It's just like, goddess.
Yep. And Michonne. I don't know her real name. But from Walking Dead,
Michonne. She's always going to be Michonne.
Killing it.
Denai Okoye. I mean, Denai Greta.
Thank you.
Ah. We're going to call her Michonne.
Give it up.
Okoye.
To the engineer.
Anthony. That would be Anthony.
You guys, it's Anthony been a is while. The greatest.
Yeah, Anthony rules.
We've been on hiatus.
I also liked that the two white dudes in the movie were the Tolkien white dudes. You get it? Because they were both in Lord of the Rings.
Oh my gosh, I didn't even notice that.
I heard that L in there.
It was great. Anyways, we're not here to talk about Black Panther,
but we could
see it. Go out and see it. We're here to talk about Chadwick and Cardi on SNL. Double C's. CC. I don't know what's happening. It was a fun episode, though. Chadwick crushed it.
Yeah.
What were your expectations walking into this? Did this episode meet your expectations?
I had expectations of, like, arms and face and more arms and butt. And I got all those. So...
A plus. So you're feeling good.
A plus. Yeah.
You're feeling it.
Oh, my God. All right.
She's feeling it.
I thought that it was going to be a good episode. I was kind of worried about the writing just because Chadwick Boseman's not necessarily... I haven't seen him do any sort of comedy, so I was a little bit worried about that. But they really, I feel like, wrote to his skill set.
See, I disagree. I thought it was a good... I thought he did well because he had a variety... He's great at voices, number one. Like, he crushes voices and just great to look at. But we said that already. But I just thought the writing was still, like, it could have been better. And I did think that they did use the better Black Panther sketch for Sterling K. Brown.
That's why I wish, like, have a joke about it, mention it, but, like, move on. You can only do so many sketches about it anyways. So yeah, that's what I think, like, I agree that the writing could have been better because a lot of it didn't escalate, but I do think that they did write to him very well. Like, he's a great straight man. Mm-hmm. He has that deep voice, and, like, he's a great straight man, so they did a really good job of writing to him in that sense. But, yeah, I think it could have – a lot of sketches never really went anywhere, I think.
I thought the same came up with Black Jeopardy. So they really wrote well to him because he played that straight, sincere, you know, his eyes are so deep and big, and you know, you do sort of immediately trust them, right? yes bedroom eyes, we're back to that, but you do immediately trust him, and so he played that great straight guy so well.
Well, he's played that guy. That's
Black Panther. I feel like they had to do a Black Panther skit. They just had to, just because he's King T'Challa. Like, it would have been weird, but I understand what you guys are saying about that.
Yeah, let's talk about that one first, if that's cool. Because I remember the first time they did the Black Jeopardy, and I loved it. I don't remember what it was about. Do you remember it, Amy?
They've done a few of them. My favorite, though, I think it might be the Tom Hanks one.
Yeah.
This was, they crushed it, because this is a great fish out of water sketch. Mm-hmm. Three people, two straight men who get the game, and the third one who doesn't get the game.
Yeah.
That's always the joke. Mm-hmm. So this is a great vehicle for that kind of sketch, and that's why I always love these. I think the best one, though, was the Tom Hanks one, because he came out with the Make America Great hat again.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, oh, God. But then it turned out that he had all of the same, like, weird conspiracy theories from a, like, a white man who was like, I'm all Trump and this. But then, like, he aligned with the, like, black stereotypes of it. And they were like, all right, Doug, we like you.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was one of the best ones because of the juxtaposition, but then it came together. But then with this, again, the same. It's fish out of water. It's the grandmother thing of, like, because I want to honor my grandmother.
I did love the twist at the end of him realizing it.
Oh, yeah, with the, he put it together. A white woman, so she
potato
didn't
salad.
Yeah.
Flavor seasoned her food enough. That was really funny.
And the commercials always get me. Sprite. Because this is the black soda now.
Because we don't know why this is the black drink.
I love, what was it, what was the, not margarine one anymore? You out of...
Oh, yes.
The tub.
Yeah.
You out of margarine or...
Yeah.
Something.
I don't have enough margarine or something.
Yeah. And it's just leftovers.
Which is funny because that's what I do at home. All my Tupperware are really old margarine things.
Me too. Mine's cottage cheese things.
Yeah, okay. So...
but this is a great example of it heightening properly, because you're waiting for it to get good, and then he finally catches on, and it's the perfect way by him being like you. We're following along with him.
Yeah,
he's I'm under.
Yes. Right. Yeah.
It was real fun.
Kind of a great last button, too, because they escalated so well till then, like, the, like, police brutality bit at the end, where he's just like, oh, yes, I would be helpful because the police are here to help us. And they're just like, you have not been to America.
Yeah. That's how it should be, but...
Yeah, the more we talk about it, I'm like, that was a really well-written sketch.
I thought it was a great sketch, which is why I sort of brought it up originally. I thought, like, well, here the writing was really good. So I actually felt like... I disagree with you guys a tad bit, so surprise, surprise. So I thought the writing was really good till about 75% of the way through, and then the last two or three sketches, like, just all the wheels came off and made no sense, and they were really kind of stretching. But I thought up until Weekend Update, I thought it was really good.
See, I disagree. I think the later ones kind of, well, I don't know, let's talk about them, because, well, you can't talk about the digital shorts. I think they're separate. Like the Nike
fair enough.
And which I loved Game of Life.
Yeah,
they were great. We'll save them for last, I guess. But fertility for the pregnant man sketch, such a great concept, but it's just, you're just describing birth.
Yeah.
Where's the level up?
When I think about the concept and I think about the tuliping part, it's honestly hilarious. But when I was watching it, it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
It wasn't that funny, but in hindsight, like, the tulip joke is really funny to me.
Yeah.
And disgusting.
It was just poorly executed. And just the idea of a pregnant man is so funny.
Yeah.
Well, there were weird choices in it, too. Like, that first cut to the audience that lasted for way too long. Mm-hmm. I immediately was like, there's going to be some sort of game with the audience. No.
Nope.
They just cut awkwardly to them to just stare into camera for, like, 3 seconds and then go back to Chet, who was already, like, it's just the timing and everything was off from the beginning. And then, there was one joke that never went anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
What did you like about it,
Elizabeth? Right. So I was just thinking in my head, like, when did that come up in the show? Because it was right about then that I was sort of, it was falling flat for me. Yeah, I'm not going to sort of sing the praises of that, except that I thought that Mikey Day did great.
Yeah. That was right after the Black Jeopardy one.
Oh, was it? Was it right up top? Yeah, okay, maybe I was still riding high from the Nike commercial and Black Jeopardy. Yeah, that was like a solid C+. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It didn't really go anywhere, but I thought Mikey Day was good and the concept's funny. But yeah, it didn't really go anywhere. I'll give you that. Yeah. Absolutely.
I think the only thing that made me laugh out loud was when she was like, the woman with the wrinkled skirt.
Yeah, yeah. I was wondering if that was the same sketch that was going through my mind. I thought
Cecily
that was good.
Was like, that was an unnecessary detail. Okay. Her delivery on those kinds of lines are always, always spot on.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
What were your other favorite sketches? Well, let's talk the monologue I was really excited about went nowhere. It was like, because you don't really know Chadwick, right?
Right.
So a lot of times when I see the monologue, I get excited for the monologue like for people males. I don't know. Yeah, yeah. Just to win us over. I was like, oh, you're dressed cool.
Let me just take a moment for his attire, the entire episode.
The jacket at the end?
Fire.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I would wear that entire outfit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. I do think that I don't really know that much about his Offset character because he did say, like, I've played literally every important person in biopic films. So I was hoping for a little bit more of that, but I loved the end when he went into the James Brown. I wanted him to sing, though.
I wanted more. I wanted more there. It left me going, like, but wait, don't go. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hated that Keenan was there, too, for a second.
Well, we were talking about this before. Yeah, you can only make that joke so many times. How many times this season have they been like, I've been here forever?
You guys, the outfit.
The outfit. That was literally the only joke of the entire thing, too, I feel like. Yeah. That was the only, like, purpose of this monologue.
No, it really was, but it was how I want to picture Keenan moving forward is in that outfit. Like,
oh, the makeup was great.
Great.
Yeah, the makeup was just wonderful.
You hear that? Someone go make a movie and take him away as this character. Take him away forever. Yeah.
Make that character a movie. I'll
give him
not
another job,
it,
but... please, someone.
Oh, man. Magic Mirror was pretty funny, even though it didn't go in. I wish that they explained it at the end. You know, that was with the R. Kelly.
Yeah. I thought the concept was great. R. Kelly coming through in the Disneyland mirror.
Because what were you guys thinking? Were you thinking, oh, it's going to be... I thought it was going to be the Princess and the Frog, Princess Tiana, and they'd be like, oh, she's her... Because you're... Oh, I can't say it. You know, like, white girls... Oh, it's because you're... Because it was always, oh, because you're an ice bitch or ice queen.
Yeah.
But it twisted it by being this R. Kelly or Mulan character. So the end was that he's a Mulan character?
Yeah, which they tried to explain. And then when Bette comes in, he, like, solidifies there. And he's just like, oh, yeah, it's the character from Mulan. But I just think that it could have gotten, like, their beats with R. Kelly needed to be far more weird than what they were. I didn't like the giant sandwich. Would have liked to see the giant sandwich a little bit longer because that was just a weird choice that I liked. But, yeah, I wasn't. I like that they went for strange, but, like, it never went anywhere after that, too. Yeah.
I actually think that they themselves were very confused in this sketch. And so they didn't really know what was going on in the sense that they wrote it towards... At first I thought it was going to be, oh, you don't see any black princesses, really. And so there was going to be some play on, well, you should be able to have a reflection in the mirror for you and that society doesn't give you that. Okay, it didn't go there at all. And then it went to the R. Kelly thing and I was like, oh, that's funny. But then they were playing down their R. Kelly-ness by saying, no, it's really a Mulan character. And then... R. Kelly comes back because he's got a sandwich, he's got popcorn, and you're like, oh no, they're hiding it. He actually is R. Kelly.
Well, that's just the same guy that they said was the Mulan character.
Right. Yeah. But then they play that down again by underselling themselves again by actually saying, no, 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 really, we're serious. It's the Mulan character. That's what Beck says. And so I just think like, oh, you should have just gone with R. Kelly. Just go with that as like, that's your fairy princess and take it away.
Or just go with the drunk Disney princess dinner table episode.
Whatever.
Those are the best.
Those were great.
Like, he could have played so much. I feel like they could have made such better.
Or just have him be like a weirdo that got behind the mirror and was like, oh yeah, I'm in Disney World. Like, just something so weird, you know, like an actual guy just snuck behind.
Yeah, it was
that
weird.
Would be funny. See, we could write for SNL. Hire us.
Yeah, it was confusing.
I think there was just, it was one of those sketches that there was just like so many things that they were trying to do and they never did any of them.
Right, mm-hmm. They didn't really come full force anywhere.
Yeah. Same thing with the Wakanda Forever sketch. I thought they were going to like send a message about this.
Wait.
And then they were like, no, it's for everybody. Like, are you trying to like talk about? Because I know it is like a racial thing, Black Panther and stuff. But,
no, it's important culturally. The point is it's important culturally for Black people, specifically in America, because like we said, there's no representation like that. And not only this was the sickest superhero movie ever.
Yeah.
And then it's the whole part that white people do take everything, so it's like one thing that they have. Right.
Yeah.
I thought it was hilarious. I didn't know that. I thought you would too.
Well, at the end, I wanted more of it because I liked where it was going. Like, I liked when Leslie's like, you take everything from us. I was like, oh, is it going to go that way?
Jazz, right.
You and then they were just like, nah, we decided it's for everybody, which I like. And I like the twist at the, this is the one time I kind of laughed at Keenan because it's true. Yeah. It does show, not that we're all the same, but there are like nerdy people and like, you know, and it's a superhero movie. Mm-hmm. It is for everybody.
I thought it was an age thing. They were like, okay, no, it can be for everybody. Oh, but only if you're young. Because I thought Keenan was playing an old person, not just a nerd. He was playing an old person.
He was the stepdad, but he's out of touch. That's the whole thing. You're not a hip guy.
Right, right.
So it's not about age.
Yeah, they were like, stay woke.
They're saying the movie's for everyone, just the whole Wakanda Forever.
Right,
yeah. But that's why I thought, they could have just ended it kind of, I feel like you're right. It did kind of not heighten at the end, but I feel like him just saying Wakanda was hilarious. Yeah. I rewatched that like 3 times.
So I actually kind of wanted to see them escalate their like awkward whiteness.
Yes, me too. Yeah.
Because like that was like a big part of the joke and that added a lot to each different beat. But yeah, I feel like it was very much like a sketch that like could have been so much better, but it ended up being a throwaway at the end of the night kind of sketch instead of them actually putting the time into like making it better, like, and really putting that across. It kind of reminded me of that superhero one that Chris Redd did that was awful because they never went anywhere with it and they could have made like a great point like culturally and then they just kind of went soft and went somewhere else with it. Mm-hmm. And I felt like this was almost the same, like they kind of missed on a big opportunity.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it was bad writing.
Yeah.
Like, it was good writing, but it could have been better because it never went anywhere from that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I did enjoy seeing them try to do it.
Wakanda. And Bennett were perfect for the white guys.
Yeah, they really were. Yeah.
Any of actually the white SNL guys would be perfect for that. They're so good at playing that.
Yeah.
They're so good at being white.
Wakanda!
Let's talk about Speak to the Manager just because Chadwick crushed this one. The singing part. That's the only thing I liked about it.
Yeah, otherwise it truly sucked.
Yeah.
It sucked pretty bad. And the only thing that sucked worse was Fireman. So those like the end of the show was like, oh my God, you've fallen off the edge. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, I just liked him singing. That's all I wanted to say about it.
I liked the deep notes.
Yeah.
Like the range that he got was awesome.
He got that James Brown voice, dude.
Mm-hmm. It was like impressive performances and terrible writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like in the songs, they could have gotten so much more like weirdly specific about the things that were going on. Mm-hmm. And then I also wanted a reason for them to be singing other than like we're gypsies singing for our supper. Me and Steph were talking about this. I was like, are they going to turn into raccoons? Because all I could think about is this sketch that they did when Amy Adams was hosting where her, Kate and Cecily were all like weirdly singing about like eating garbage the whole time or like they were talking about that and then doing the songs then at the end they're like, okay, we have to go turn back into raccoons now.
Yeah.
It's like this weird crazy right turn at the end of the sketch to like make it like all worth it. Mm-hmm. And we never got that. There was no payoff at the end of this one, so I was let down, but the performances were awesome.
I thought there was like no foundation. First of all, they didn't look like gypsies. They looked like middle America who can afford any dinner, and so I didn't find them believable because I thought, why are you trying to sing for your dinner? You can afford dinner. The whole thing just didn't really work.
I think they just thought of a sketch of them singing and they're like, oh, we have to explain this. Make them gypsies.
Yeah. Sing for your supper.
Make them gypsies.
The firefighters one, it was such a funny, like I laughed at the beginning when he's like, it's 6 p.m. Because that's a funny concept. And then he's a weirdo with dogs and doll things. I don't know. It just, They're so good at concepts, and then they just peter off. And you've been doing it for, like, how many? 75 years?
45. No, 43. Yeah, even for Chadwick, I was like, dude, just get out of this sketch because you're so much better than this. Like, even he didn't come off good in that one, I didn't think.
Also, I was very surprised because he's so good at accents. But what was that? It was, like, New York at first, and then it was, like Latino, and then it was, like, Vegas, and then, like, he went all over the place. I was like, where is he from?
No, it was like a translator.
Yeah. He was juggling too many tonight. That night, he's like, oh, I'm lost!
But I feel like that one had to have been the most expensive skit of the night, too. Oh, yeah. Like, it was just, like, so wasteful.
Yeah. Well, they never, there was no joke. It was, let's find out what he's gonna do at 6 o'clock.
And that's and, it.
Yes. Yeah, their guesses didn't escalate. They're like, at the end, they're like, oh, like, it got kind of weird, but like,
no, there was nothing.
Yeah, there was no escalation to it. There weren't any beats. It was literally them just talking about what he's gonna go do at 6 o'clock. And yeah, I agree that like, there's a lot of funny ideas that you could have gone to of like, this fireman is like, nah, it's six.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're a fireman, bro. You can't do that. Like, I thought it was gonna go more to that. And then he's just like, no, I have this thing. I can't tell you.
But it's not funny, my thing.
That was it.
Yeah, it's not.
There's the joke, guys.
Let's get to some good stuff. Game of Life DACA edition. I thought this was pretty funny. Yeah. Melissa! Finally, like, Melissa was in Speak to the Manager and Game of Life.
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. Good show.
It was not so much funny as it was just like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, kind of thing.
Yeah. No, it was a great depiction of what is true, and they didn't even have to heighten that much. It really is what is true. So they were just giving the visuals behind it so that people who maybe aren't part of DACA can see, like, well, this is what you have to do. Like, we're all familiar with Monopoly, so we know.
They crushed their commercial parodies, SNL. Oh, they never miss a beat. Like the Nike Pro Chiller.
Oh, my God.
Probably the best thing of the night.
It was the best thing of the night.
Yeah. Aside from Cardi.
Yeah. And ADB.
ADB, right? ADB.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll get ADB. To that.
Steph was like, no. Yeah. It was not.
I've like been living off a high of Cardi for the past week. I've never felt this way about another woman.
No, but the Nike Pro, because that's how you wear leggings. I don't really know what else to say about it except,
it's definitely a napkin.
Yeah.
I was like, how amazing and overdue. Because, like, how long have we joked about, like, how many times you just put on yoga pants and you're like, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
But I love that they're used as a napkin. I love the Fitbit says I'm dead.
Because
I can't put my naked butt on the couch. Like, so many good one-liners within a well-structured commercial.
No rules except Vanderpump.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Perfect.
Like, great. This just speaks to so many people.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. Really. Basically 51% of the planet.
The other day I was wearing leggings and I was making a salad. I spilled balsamic vinegar all in the pants. And guess what? They were fine.
No big deal.
You couldn't see?
Yes.
Awesome. Cardi B, ADB. So good.
Please.
Gonna so give good. Connor the very good putty. That's what I wrote down. That's the one thing I wrote.
Yes. I loved AD in this. It reminded me of her like back home baller type vibe. Or like twin in my twin bed. And she just, I feel like she's, at least she was me this week. Like I was like about to cuss everyone out.
Yeah.
You guys know I've had to be censored for this episode, you guys.
When she just keeps going at both of them, every time they try to talk, and she does another skirt every single time. It gets me, and I love any time they use the device of, like, fantasy versus reality. And when she is on the desk, and they are going back and forth between, like, this dope music video, and her just rolling around on the desk, I was just like, I was in love.
Mm-hmm. She looked really good in that red outfit.
She looked so fantastic. It reminded me of when she played the press secretary. Do you remember?
Oh,
and she came out and her musical. I love
Sarah
it when
Huckabee,
they did the confidence song. Yeah,
that was so great. When she comes out and does her musical stuff, it's wonderful.
It's great. And then Cardi is like, if you've seen her commercials and she's basically can act just as herself, but she's so good on camera.
Right. Mm-hmm.
She's
just
hilarious.
Give me water. No.
Yeah. Or I could stay.
No.
Yeah.
So funny. She crushed it, Cardi. I Did you? So you guys saw before, because we watched this later on, not on Saturday. So the first outfit of the night, I'm like, oh, I see what you're doing there, hiding that bump. Mm-hmm. Did you guys, you expected it because we saw it already, right?
I thought she was going to hide it all night.
Oh, yeah?
I mm-hmm. knew she'd come out. She's not a hider. She doesn't hide in life.
I saw the picture of the white dress somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Skirt.
Sorry. So good.
I literally freaked out when I saw her come out.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, I don't know why I was so emotional about it, you guys, but to see like someone who is a legit rapper, like her lyrics are so good, like she's one of the best I feel like I've heard in a long time, to come out and then also be pregnant on stage, which never happens, and sing like a mm-hmm. and rap a super vulnerable song was so crazy to me. I feel like it was so beautiful and so cool of her. Like she really is like, shows you the key to life is really just not giving anything.
Right. No fear.
Huh? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
What? And she uses her flaws as her benefit. Like she's like, yeah I'm a stripper. What? Like you're gonna love me, and we do love her.
I liked her. Like, what won me over, too, about her is just after every song, she would just be like, thank you. Nobody does that. Yeah, and I'm like, true. That, yeah. I like that.
Her confidence was so much high. Better than every artist we've seen on SNL this season. Like, when she's like, we're going to church tomorrow. Oh,
yeah, I love that. We sin today and we go to church tomorrow. Yeah, we sin tonight. Yeah.
So good.
She killed it.
Yeah, she did.
Also, let's talk about Update. Because something pretty fun will happen in Update.
And
call me.
Oh, you're too great. Yeah.
Do you have any funny jokes that you liked? I thought the joke wise with Update was kind of a miss for me. I kind of zoned out.
There's some that I liked. So the Australia guy who gets stabbed in the back and he orders a beer, which automatically makes him president. So I loved that. And the golfer guy who twists his ankle, which just proves that athletes. Golfers are not athletes or sports figures. So I liked that. And then, of course, Facebook. Zuckerberg just was
what great. A great idea to take Mark Zuckerberg and make him such a weirdo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, because we don't really know him, right?
Well, and it's perfect, too, because, like, now we're doing the show now. Like after Zuckerberg actually did go in front Congress. Of us, and that's pretty accurate to what it looked like when he actually went there. Crazy shark guys just staring at everyone, explaining
suit
how
that's too big,
like explaining like, how the internet works to everyone. Yeah. Yeah. So they kind of predicted the future in this
and
one.
And when he would say Congresswoman, he was like, "Yes, Congresswoman, that's the first line of our agreement together."
Yeah, it was terrifying.
It
was absolutely terrifying. Yeah. So they nailed it.
Yeah. Did he do any dabs?
No, unfortunately, he did not. Yeah. He didn't scream laugh either. So
that's right, which was fun.
Actually, I cover South Park also, and they've done a Mark Zuckerberg episode, and it's kind of similar to this character where it was like he's so weird, but he was way more annoying in South Park. I like this one because he was like trying so hard to be humanly relatable, but he's just too dang smart for that. Like he's literally just a computer engine. In there. There's no
well, and it's like he knows real that emotion. He has to be relatable now because he's in trouble, but he doesn't really want he doesn't want to have to cow down to anybody, Congress or not. He doesn't really want to have to play the game, so it's hard to see him like try it and can't really do it.
I do just want to say humanly relatable. One of my favorite things ever. I can be human.
He's like on Google how to be human.
That's right. Yeah.
Wait, before we talk about the last guest person of Update, I almost forgot about asking you guys a question. Do you guys want to have fun and learn and grow in all areas of your life?
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah.
Well, for those of you that do, we've got the podcast for you. Conversations with Maria and Menudo's podcast edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of your life. I probably should get this because I'm a shitty person.
I already listen. Absolutely. Downloaded and done.
Yeah, Cardi and Maria are my two.
From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. I don't have a big sister.
Well, then get one.
I got one.
Damn.
Yeah. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment. When you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there. Mm-hmm. SNL, After Buzz.
That's us.
Just us. Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Check it out. I know how to say words.
Check it out.
Oh, I'm going to download that.
Later. Yeah, I'm not good at life, so I need Maria to tell me how to do life. Yeah,
she's killing it.
I've been trying to have her teach me, but I'm a slow learner.
Maria, come teach me more. Help me, I'm poor.
Oh, man. My favorite update person.
She's back.
Oh, gosh. So good.
Yeah.
Angel, the boxer's girl.
Heidi, go, girl, go. God, I love her. She plays it so well. And she just hangs when she says, like, where are my kids? Oh, it's so great. Yeah. She's so great.
I like that she makes the least dramatic things so dramatic. Like the Roseanne thing. Roseanne.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So good.
This is one of those perfect examples of specifics make a character.
Yes.
So, right. Like, she always comes out with something that you're like, oh, my God. That is what every one of those characters would say. And in this one, that she buys most of her groceries at the gas station. But yeah, the Whitey Bulger Drive. Her kids' names are Mikey, Nikki Peppers, and Kino.
Precious. Her precious baby Kino.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you named your son baby Kino? Yeah. No, my daughter.
My daughter. But yeah, like you said, too, the way that she hangs at the end of a sentence and she just kind of stares very seriously, but also kind of blank. Like, you don't really know if there's anything behind your eyes.
I feel like of all the cast members, not all of them, a lot of them have this potential, but I could see her actually doing movies. Because, like, in the Nike one and stuff, she's actually full in character. Like, there's no break at all. Yeah. And I love that commitment.
Which sometimes I think breaking is endearing. Like, that's why Lauren had Jimmy and Horatio on for a while, because they thought that was cute and stuff. But I think this does make a character, make or break Angel, you know?
Yeah, really obscure characters like Gilly and stuff. Like, you have to be full in.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think it makes her much stronger as a player.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as one of the cast players, I'm not surprised that she would get movies because she's just got all the chops.
Yeah.
And the writing is really good for this character, too, which is a lot of times, like, characters on Update, it's one or the other.
Yep.
They don't always come together. But, like, the way that they write not only those specifics for her, but also, like, the callback of, like, they're at my sister's house for the kids, always referencing them. And then in this one, she...
Thank you. Thank you.
Our very own Amy B.
And then also at the end, too, of even in this one, the callback, that running joke of, like, I won't be there for it, for the wedding. He's like, are you invited? And then the global warming, I'm not going to be there, Washington. And they're like, you don't have to be there.
Yeah.
So they always have those calls. It's just such a well-written character. And like you said, her commitment to it is just perfect.
I wonder if she writes it.
I think
this was a Groundlings character that she had.
That she did.
Yeah. And that's what I love, too. You can always tell a Groundlings cast member because their characters and their commitment are always so strong.
Yeah,
like,
back
from, like a Will Ferrell up to not even a cast member, but when Melissa McCarthy hosts, you know, like, the characters that she brings.
I always think she's a cast member because of her characters. Yeah.
Crushes it.
She should be one instead of Leslie.
Yeah.
Wait, who said that?
She's too big time for SNL right now.
She is.
She's legit.
Well, I think, do you guys want to have talk about anything else?
Well, we have predictions, but even other than that, I thought that the opening was great. The press conference.
Get out of here, Elizabeth.
You didn't like it? I thought it was great.
Terrible.
Oh, I loved it.
It was like, let's try Leslie to do something different.
This is like Meet the Press, Democrat, Republican, except it's SNL comedy. What?
Except there's no R-words in this tape, I don't believe.
Fair enough. No, but I mean, we're the opposite side of comedy here. I thought it was great. I don't care about America. I don't care about this. It's a cash grab. I thought it was great. Mexicans.
It's just still, like, shocking to me because I'm like, I hate you, dude. You slept with a porn star. Tristan Thomas.
Okay, so of course we hate
your wife.
But they're just doing Thompson, the same thing, reading the headlines.
P.F. Chang's, we're kicking him out. He's the most famous Chinese man. I thought it was good. I liked it.
I think we have to take these as they are now and, like, call a spade a spade. It's like, it's just a bag of jokes that they put into a random format have Alec Baldwin do Trump. And that's all it is. And I still don't like it because I want them to take a stronger point of view and not just like, he's dumb and awful and the worst.
Yeah.
We all know that. Put something different to it. And the best ones always are when they do that. What I would have I thought they were going to do this. I'd like to see a sketch of him escalating in, like, when he, because he started to go on script and he's just like, this is the worst. Like, almost like a handler having to, like, keep bringing him back.
Yeah.
I thought, and it was, again, they always try to start to do a game of some sort. And then they're like, here's a headline. Here's another headline. Here's another headline. Mm-hmm. And I just think they try to do too many things in these. And yeah, you're right. There are plenty of funny lines in it. But save those funny lines for update. They're change jokes. The They're not a sketch.
Yeah. Or change the premise. Like, I feel like it should have been him and Stormy talking or something. Like, yeah. Some sort of, like, difference. Like, it's too realistic because this literally happens. You're literally saying what this crazy person does every single day.
Yeah.
And like you said, what else?
I'd love to see a conversation with him and Stormy.
That would be good.
You guys should look at her Twitter because she's lit.
Oh, she's so,
she has no shame, and I'm so here for it. Yeah, me
too. Me too. And I actually think she's going to take him down in one way or another. It may not be her specifically, but it might be the trail of money from her or something. Or maybe it's her talking about his penis. I don't know. But something is going to
take him down.
Don't.
Somebody take him down.
I guess that's the thing. Maybe I have accepted it by now. Like, okay, this is how it starts, and this is where we're going. And either you're going to make some kind of funny twist. Lots of times there aren't any funny twists. It's literally reading the news. This time I felt like it was more a nod to the news, but they were doing, you know, Latvia and Estonia. And mm-hmm. I mean, I thought that they were doing some other things, like him talking about, should I, you know, restrain myself in what I can say, what I shouldn't say, you know. So they were trying to play around with some things, and so I felt like, okay, this is just a more entertaining.
Yeah, I do agree they're trying to figure it out, but I mean, they've been on air for like, what, 80 years?
More than that, together. Kelly. More than that.
But like, I don't know, I feel like, at least they're trying. I'll give you that.
Well, because even when you look at old, like, political openings, like when they would do Bush or whatever, right. It was like, yeah, they might just have him sitting and talking into camera, similar to, like, how they do what now with Trump. But they would have like, an overall message that they were doing in that. It would be one thing that it would actually be a sketch while they were still doing the political commentary. Mm-hmm. Now I just feel like it's here, and then it's there, and then it's up here, and they just go in so many different directions, which makes sense because that's what our president does.
Right.
But it was like, they used to be able to kind of do both, and now they're only doing the one, and they're just jokes.
Yeah.
Funny, but
they're working with what they got.
Hopefully next week it'll be better. Next week, the cold open, I mean, will be better. Next week there's Mulaney and Jack White.
Yeah.
Gonna be super fun.
Jack White's gonna be great.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I'm stoked for Mulaney.
Yeah,
too.
Same.
Because he's coming out with a new special, Netflix special.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I guess we'll talk about predictions of it. Do you guys predict anything?
Bill Hader.
I don't think there's going to be Bill Hader again.
Too close to maybe when he was just
because
down.
It was just like 2-3 weeks ago. Yeah. I mean, in SNL world.
Right.
They usually play to like the person's most notable. If they have something notable, they'll do it. And I obviously live for Stefan, so I would hope for that. But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they let us down, let me down.
Hopefully that DJ guy comes back though.
Yeah,
that'd be great. I don't know if we'll see Bill because it was so soon.
Right.
But I do think there will be at least some cameo. Because just his connections there.
Sure. Maybe Nick Kroll or something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because they're pals.
Yeah. Some cameos, and I always hope that it's going to be amazing writing when it's someone like this.
Yeah. At least, I think the monologue, I think the monologue at least will be good because going to be his stand-up.
Yeah.
Right.
Hopefully.
I would think. Yeah, no, I think too. I have higher expectations for that.
Yeah, and he probably has something organized because he's coming out with a special.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Until next time, though, you guys. Elizabeth, where can we find you on the internet?
Right, Elizabeth Alfano on the internet. There you go.
Oh, my God.
She's just throwing the mic drop. I'm Amy Maestri. You can find me at Amy Maestri.
I'm Steph Sabraw. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Steph Sabraw.
I'm Kelly McInerney. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Holly Weirdo.
Out. Bye, everybody.
Oh, my.
She's coming.
Amy B.
Come here.
Amy B. Amy B. Hey, I wish I could throw water
crawl,
on you.
Crawl.
Say Lil.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com.
I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later. Skirt. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. Do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.